And welcome back. Putting theater and advocacy together can be a powerful way to spread a message. It's not really anything new, but it seems to have taken on a new urgency here in St. Louis. Evidence of that tonight at the Ethical Society of St. Louis Auditorium. That uppity theater company of St. Louis, with a number of partners, is presenting a series of play readings titled Playhouse Emissions, a Climate Change Theater Action. Joining me to tell us more are Joan Lipkin, the That Uppity Theater Artistic Director. John Hickey is with the Missouri Sierra Club. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Joan, I'm going to start with you because theater and advocacy is an interesting combination. I mentioned in the introduction, it's really nothing new, but you're doing it a little bit differently here, and you've taken the lead in that recently with theater advocacy against violence and LGBT issues.
Right. Thank you, Don. Well, actually, it's part of a movement, a growing movement called Rapid Response Theater that comes directly out of the Federal Work Theater program that was in the 1930s, which used theater as a way to telegraph messages, but hopefully to do it in a way that is entertaining and engaging. Our company co-produced After Orlando about the massacre of at the Pulse nightclub of LGBTQ Latinx people, and we also co-produced Every 28 Hours, which was about extrajudicial violence against people of color. We see this as a way to amplify voices, to have more representation on a stage, but also to have many more playwrights contribute. And in this case, we are part of an international initiative called Climate Change Theater Action that began on October 1st and will run through November 18th. It will involve over 225 events in 40 countries. And just today alone, there will be a performance at the Blue Room Theater in Perth, Australia, but also at the Main Street Middle School in Vermont, and us at the Ethical Society. So we think it's very exciting for us to be part of a global conversation.
And this global conversation you've just mentioned here, it's all focused on climate change?
It is. These are short plays that were solicited by Chantal Bilodeau, who initiated this particular action, by writers from all over the world. We have picked about eight of them, and I have also written a play called About That Chocolate Bar. About a woman and her discovery about her relationship of her chocolate bar to the rainforest when she is visited by the spirit of the Amazon.
Uh-huh. Well, there you go again, Joan Lipkin. John, this is right in your wheelhouse, isn't it? I mean, this is perfect for an organization like the Sierra Club.
Exactly. And we're fortunate, Don, that people in the United States are learning about the reality of climate change and its impact on severe weather events. All of us in St. Louis remember the spring when there's the terrible floods along the Merrimack River and Highway 44 was shut down, Highway 55 was shut down. We're seeing it playing out today in Puerto Rico, where most of the island still lacks electricity because of the storm damage there. So climate change is no longer something we got to worry about in the future or for our children. It is impacting us now, and so this event is very timely.
You know, I heard something on the radio this morning indicating that the warmest years on record are 2015, 2016, and 2017. I mean, it's just getting more and more, well, hotter. It's getting hotter.
Exactly, and that's going to be a particular problem for a city like St. Louis, which is a brick city. And estimates from the Harvard School of Public Health say we'll see hundreds of additional heat deaths in St. Louis because of climate change and the greater temperature. And so this hot weather is not just a bother, it's going to become deadly.
Yeah, particularly when the oceans begin to rise a foot or two. A lot of people are going to be scrambling when that happens. Joan, give me some sense of the various parts of this subject that are being discussed in the readings.
Yes, the various themes. So not surprisingly, animals play a large role in this. And so we have eagles who have something to say about the state of things. They're not happy about the city dump that they're now residing in. We have a wonderful play about a bull. This is actually based on a true story that escaped on its way to the slaughterhouse and is running down a highway. We look at biological warfare, DDT, weather extremes, animal extinction, water shortage, the devastation of the rainforest, and the sentience of animals. So believe it or not, there's actually a lot of humor, because we feel that humor is in some ways the weapon of the powerless, but it's also a way that we can break through and not be didactic. The plays are all short. The longest one is 6 minutes, most of them around three or four. We have an extraordinary group of actors. And I do want to make clear that, Don, that this event is free. It was very important to us and to our partners, and we have many partners. We have the NAACP, the Sierra Club, Franciscan Sisters, St. Louis Voter Registration Group, many people who are partnering with us and who will be part of a community resource fair that happens right after the performance, which is about an hour long. And all of our performers are volunteering. Everybody is volunteering for this effort because we feel that it's something that we want to participate in and lend our voices. And we have some of the best performers in town. We have dancer-choreographer Ashley Tate, John Fleck, Donna Weinstein, Don McLennan, Elizabeth McCormick, and Pamela Reckamp, who is not only acting, but she's also co-directing and co-producing. We start our performance with a piece to Michael Jackson, and we end with some Sondheim. Children will listen, because what we are trying to say is, what are we saying to our children? What are we saying for our children? We as adults must step up and step into this, excuse me, step into this global, local, regional, national crisis.
You mentioned animals. Animals are part of the problem.
Yes.
I'm thinking cattle in particular. I mean, they are producing methane, which is, you know, a problem for the environment, right, John?
Exactly. Methane's a very potent greenhouse gas.
Yeah.
Another flip side of animals is we're seeing more ticks and more mosquitoes because of climate change. Mm-hmm. The tick season begins earlier in Missouri than it used to. It ends later than it used to. That means more Missourians are being infected with Rocky Mountain spotted fever, ehrlichiosis, and other tick-borne illnesses. So these illnesses that we think of as more of a tropical issue are becoming more and more an issue in the United States as warmer temperatures is expanding the range of these insects that are vectors for disease.
How specifically is the Sierra Club involved as one of the partners in Joan's production here?
Well, we will have a table there at the fair that Joan just mentioned with postcards so people can send a postcard to their own mayor. We are encouraging mayors in the St. Louis area to sign a pledge to move to clean energy. We've already had a number of mayors sign on, including the mayors of U City, Maplewood, St. Peter's, Wentzville, Chesterfield, Florissant, Delwood, and the local community leadership can take action on climate change because cities can make their buildings more energy efficient. Cities can increase their use of wind and solar energy. The city of St. Louis Board of Aldermen just actually passed a resolution to set a goal of getting 100% of our electricity in St. Louis City from clean sources, from wind and solar by 2035. So we will be encouraging local St. Louisans to take that action and demand that their local government be part of the solution, and we don't just sit back and wait on Washington to do it for us.
And Joan, John mentioned this, but you're accommodating that through these tables that you're going to have following the presentation.
We are.
Right?
It's wonderful that we're going to be at the Ethical Society because there is plenty of free parking. Mm-hmm. We encourage people also to carpool. And the space is beautiful. But in addition, we have the whole downstairs area. So we have almost 20 different organizations that are participating. And it's communities of faith. It's social and racial justice organizations, it's environmental organizations. We also have the St. Louis Voter Registration Group, who will help people to teach others how they can register to vote. We assume that a lot of the people who are coming are probably voting, and we encourage you to vote tomorrow. Mm. However, we want to encourage you to help us get out the vote in the future. I think that what we are doing together with the Sierra Club, with John and our other wonderful partners, is that we're saying that we need to think globally, but act locally. And as the federal government has really let us down and, in fact, blocked our efforts to protect the environment and each other, we need to step up. And so we think it's very important. I also feel that in terms of my work, I am a theater artist. I'm also a social activist. And it's I feel that when we have a group of people together, if we don't make it possible for people to take some sort of individual and collective action, that we have missed an opportunity. So we'll also have information about the Clean Missouri Initiative, which has to do with trying to sort of look at gerrymandering and redistricting and voter rights. We think that this is all part of the same thing. How can we protect our environment? A lot of people have said to me, Joan, you know, you work on LGBTQ issues and disability and racial justice and reproductive choice. What is the relationship? And I say, well, to my mind, global climate change and this kind of global crisis cuts across all segments of society. It is what affects all of us. And so that's why we are stepping into this at this point.
But you're both well aware that there are still some deniers out there. Now, is the denial part of the equation going to be represented at all in the presentations tonight?
Actually, it is. Yeah. And actually, but denial is interesting because sometimes it's willful and obstinate, and sometimes it's based on somebody's ignorance. And one of the things I think about when I ask myself why people don't know and why I'm grateful, so grateful for St. Louis Public Radio and shows like yours is that mainstream media has an opportunity to educate and advocate about climate change, but they don't. They don't for the most part. They could be doing it with all the coverage of the fires and the flooding and the hurricanes, and they could make that link, and they don't. And they don't because on some level they are, you know, they have such deep links to highly financed lobbyists and big business. And so there are many reasons why you have denial. Sometimes it's about somebody being invested in their own economic well-being, or so they think. And sometimes it's because we are not able to do a good job of getting the story out. And that is why we are using art. We are partnering. We feel that we need to have more coalition building than ever before.
John, how do you and the Sierra Club take on this issue of denial and deniers?
Well, we believe that our first job is to gather up the sheep that are already saved, mm-hmm. and not to reach out to those that deny, because in many cases, like Joan said, they're denying because their personal profit depends on denial, whether you're selling coal or selling fracked natural gas or tar sand oil or whatever. But what we're seeing is the enlightened businesses in the St. Louis area are making that change. On my way to the studio today, I drove by the IKEA store. Mm-hmm. I know the IKEA roof has got the biggest rooftop solar array in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. And I know that the rest of the electricity for that store comes from wind farms in Illinois. I could see the Anheuser-Busch Brewery. And I know that Anheuser-Busch has committed to 100% clean energy for its operations, not only in St. Louis, but around the world. So what we're seeing is that the leading businesses, the growing businesses, are seeing the future and seeing that clean energy is central to their ability to continue, because you can't make a profit in a world that is unlivable.
I heard, again, something on NPR this morning talking about the Chinese and how they have decided they are going to become the electric car capital of the planet. They've got like 250 factories that are making batteries now already. We've got three or something like that. I mean, we're really going to be playing catch up.
Exactly. And the Chinese are dealing with horrible public health impacts from their current level of air pollution. So they are moving to that solution. We're in a not dissimilar situation. We're sitting in the city of St. Louis right now. The rate of childhood asthma emergency room visits for kids in St. Louis City is triple the statewide average, triple. Wow. And those kids are paying the price that we are forcing them to pay because we are not cleaning up air pollution, and therefore they are getting sick. We should be like the Chinese there and get serious about cleaning up our air.
Joan, getting back to the production tonight, I think we have to make it clear, and we mentioned that these are readings here. They're not plays per se.
No, they are plays.
They are plays.
They're plays, but they're readings. They're readings of plays, but they're highly staged readings of plays. And there'll be about eight of them. And you really get the flavor of what each piece is about. And it goes by very quickly. And there are very many different themes that we address. What I want people to know is that it's going to be enjoyable. We are really not didactic. We're trying to illuminate the situation through art and to do it in a way that people will find engaging. And I also want to say that if you go to our website, it says that registration is closed, but really it's not. Anybody can come and register at the door at 7 o'clock at the Ethical Society, and then the program will begin promptly at 7:30.
All right, and that's at the Ethical Society on Clayton Road. I think most people know where that is. Are all of these pieces original, specific to this particular evening?
All of these pieces are original and specific to this particular theatrical initiative. In other words, Chantal Bilodeau out of New York, who has been working on climate change for some time now, commissioned a number of writers from around the world. There are, I think, 50 or 60 plays. We read through and picked, Pam and I did, pick the ones that we thought would make sense as a sort of journey for our evening, and I added one as well. And so we have a really comprehensive evening that covers a lot of ground and from a variety of perspectives. I mean, when is the last time that you saw a play from the perspective of two eagles?
I'll have to think about
You'll
that.
You'll have to think about that.
Think about that for a while.
Yeah. We actually need more animals on stage. I know it's sort of a contradiction to the old adage, you know, don't ever be on stage with an animal. But we think that it's very interesting to hear what the animals have to say, theatrically.
How did all of this get started? I mean, it's an international project. How did it get underway?
Well, as I said, there is this growing movement called Rapid Response that a few people in the United States have really pioneered. And then they reach out to theater artists / activists, and they ask us to be involved. So Chantal Bilodeau has been very concerned about climate change for a while. And in fact, she herself has been writing a whole cycle of plays that look at issues around climate change, 6-7 plays that are full-length plays. And she started this initiative a while back. Mm-hmm. She reached out to us, and we said, absolutely, we're on board. We want to do this. And it is an affordable way to bring the issues to people. It, when you have a stage reading and you only rehearse a few times and the pieces are very short, you don't deal with the usual beautiful but complicated trappings of theater in terms of sets and lights and rehearsal time and costumes. You can really sort of get to the meat of the work. And so that's what we're doing. And it's really thrilling to think that we are part of an international initiative and that so many events are happening around the world right now that are using these plays as a way to enter and talk about the issues.
John Hickey, when I turn back to you, and as Joan just indicated, many people around the world are thinking about this, less so in this country from the point of view of the current administration, which continues to call climate change a hoax, and where we have people in responsible positions who don't believe in it. How much of an issue is that for an organization like yours trying to fend off that point of view?
It is a big issue. The fact that the Trump administration is so full of climate change deniers, the fact that the Trump administration is removing scientists from the panels at the Environmental Protection Agency and putting industry shills on in their place is a big issue. What gives me hope is that I know that the majority of Americans want action on climate change, and want to see our air cleaned up, want to see our water cleaned up. So I think Trump is making a big political miscalculation, thinking that the rest of America wants to see the environmental laws gutted in order to make his buddies richer.
So what can you do about that? I mean, they've got a full head of steam right now.
Well, I think one thing is pushing for action at the local level. As I said, I drove by the IKEA store on the way here, and I know when those solar panels were put up, it was local electricians that did that work from IBEW Local 1. So as people in the St. Louis area see that the jobs are in clean energy, that expands our support. You know, there's not a single coal mine in the St. Louis area. All the coal here is that's burned in St. Louis is mined in Wyoming. And so the coal is not a jobs producer. Electricity or, excuse me, solar energy's a job producer. Energy efficiency is a job producer. And that reality, I think, will mean that at the end of the day, we'll be able to defeat Trump and his efforts to roll back action on climate, and that the science and the majority will prevail.
And Joan, this is part of what tonight is all about.
It really is. And that's why we're so grateful to be on the air with you, because if we can't get the message out, mm-hmm. right, if mainstream media really is so embedded in some ways with finances, and then it makes it difficult. I think that people want to do the right thing, but they need to know what the right thing is, and they need to know the reality. And they need to know the reality that 97% of climate change scientists agree that man-made climate change is a reality and that we can change this, but we are running out of time. It's really dire.
Right.
The rainforest may be detonated by 2030 if we're not careful.
I suspect that, Joan, through this process, you've learned a lot more about climate change than you knew going in.
I did. I did. I feel like I've been sort of in graduate school. But, I mean, how important it is for me to educate myself so that I can be more actively involved. And I really plan to be going forward. And we'll see how tonight goes. I was talking to John. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do a series of plays and take them around to school groups and help schools, school children to understand and high school and universities to understand how important this is and ways that they can participate?
John, I'm sure you're on board with that. But getting them started young is a pretty good way to go.
Exactly. And we got to keep in mind that the young people will pay the biggest price. Old people like me, we're going to not see the worst impacts of climate change. My children will see the worst impacts of climate change. So getting to the schools and getting to the school kids is a critical goal.
We've got to leave it at that. I want to thank you so much, John Hickey, for being with us from the Sierra Club, and Joan Lipkin, that uppity theater company. Thank you for being with us. Sounds like it's going to be a great night tonight. Playhouse Emissions, a climate change theater action tonight at 7 at the Ethical Society of St. Louis on Clayton Road. Thank you both so much.
Thanks,
Don.
Our
pleasure.
Great
thank
to
you.
See you. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.